Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 10th of January, recording at 10.09 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly lower. Asia-Pacific, I should say. The bigger hits occurred in some of the ASEAN stock markets, particularly Indonesia. The exceptions were Japan. Nikkei was up just a tiny bit, and 0.1%, and we also had a small gain in Australia. European stock markets look weaker across the boards. More on that in a moment. In the Americas, we had Wall Street down most of the day, but it paired those gains quite a bit. And actually, the NASDAQ composite closed with a modest gain, and the S&P was only down 0.14%. That's 1.75 points. And in long-dated government bonds, prices are quietly steady against that background. The U.S. dollar is down a little bit, although not against the euro. The euro was weaker. Precious metals have had a sort of a quiet day. Platinum's a little bit firmer. Palladium a little bit easier. Gold and silver a little bit easier. Industrial metals are down on the day, but crude oil is up $1.30, and partly due, I think, to that Alaskan pipeline leak. And soft commodities, we had some decent gains in soybeans and corn, although they were pegged back a bit, and wheat actually slipped into a slight loss here today on Latin American weather conditions. More on that in a moment. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, for global stock markets, so we had a pretty firm December, as you will recall. The year started in January, the new year started firm. But then quickly ran out of steam, and one of the factors that's been worrying investors most has been the build-up of inflationary pressures. Now, this is something, of course, that, quote, wasn't supposed to happen, unquote, at least given the comments of most commentators, whereas Fuller Money has been pointing out pretty much all year that we were seeing strong demand in most commodities, and that was quite likely to pick up a bit further, and did pose a genuine risk. And that's still the case today, although it has been interesting to see the recent spillover in those commodity markets, which has blown some of the froth off that sector, and has led to some consolidations. But I don't think that it's broken the overall bull cycle, and I don't think anything will unless we get interest rates pushing up very sharply. But of course, for some of these stock markets, particularly the Asian markets, there is a real fear that interest rates will be pushed up further, and it's more than just a fear. I think there's a very strong likelihood that we will see interest rates pushed up further in countries that are experiencing some of the strongest inflationary pressures. Now, India has certainly been one of them, and Owen commented on that on Friday and earlier on, which is it's been underperforming here. And the ASEAN markets that I had mentioned in my introduction have also been hit by these inflation concerns. They've been a factor for China as well, where the food inflation, following on the heels of the property price inflation that was experienced earlier on, has been a a genuine concern. So these pressures are real and pose a medium term threat to markets as well. How much it brings stock markets back will be the key consideration here. I think looking at the overall technical picture for the stock market indices, it's really much more favorable than unfavorable. We did have a number of overextended indices, which were experiencing or were susceptible to some mean reversion towards their rising 200-day moving averages. And while we have seen interest rates edging higher, and we'll see a bit more of that in the growth economies, this is not what I would describe as a across-the-boards effort to really rein in runaway economies at this stage. It's definitely a headwind, as we see here in the short term for global stock markets. And there's another concern overall, and that's the European sovereign debt problems. We had the Portuguese bond yields push up, I think, to briefly to seven down the 10-year bonds up to 7.4 before falling back underneath the seven level. They can be quite volatile, as you probably are aware. But that's certainly an ongoing concern here for stock markets. And while I think that it's very likely that there will be a combined IMF and European Union bailout package for Portugal as well, this is a problem that is containable. It is not resolvable. And that, of course, puts some additional pressure on the Euro region generally. That's mostly negative, certainly for the stock markets of the countries rather experiencing the high overall interest rates. And I would avoid them. I would continue to avoid them. For a country like Germany, there are certainly concerns over debt issues and how much Germany is going to have to pay up to bail out a number of these debt issues, or how much they're going to contribute to it. But of course, the soft euro is manna from heaven for a major exporting economy such as Germany. And just imagine if we had the old Deutschmark, how strong that would be here right now. It would be one heck of a lot stronger than the euro actually is today. So it's not entirely a negative for the European region generally. Now, Wall Street continues to show relative strength, which we began to see quite clearly in early December and commented on that fact quite often. My feeling is that that will continue. And because there is a continued growing perception that the risks, not only of a double dip recession, but the more important one, the risk of the United States sliding into some sort of Japan style deflationary slough of despond, those two forecasts that Fuller Money has never agreed with, the double dip and the Japan style deflation. And as that growing realization that this is not actually taking place continues to grow, that will, of course, continue to lend support to Wall Street. Now, why won't it happen when so many experts said it would happen? And of course, a few have said that it wouldn't happen. But why can I be really reasonably confident that that won't happen? And I think there are a number of issues. There are demographics, which are much more favorable in the United States than they are in the in Japan. There is the fact that the Japanese made what I think is not all that different from the mistake that we saw in the US in the 1930s with a too tight monetary policy following the crash, which affected well, it certainly caused more bankruptcies and more unemployment than would have otherwise have actually occurred. In contrast, the Fed has been erring on the side of inflation, but obviously not wage inflation in this environment. I also maintain, or one of the reasons why I felt that we would not see the double dip recession in the US was that I felt that the downside was cushioned by the strength of the growth economies, the progressing, emerging, whatever you wish to call them, economies, and led by the Asian region. And the US corporate sector, which got its financial house in order very early on, in terms of cutting overheads, and has been doing very well in terms of its sales to the growth economies. So you have that strong U.S. corporate sector with very good balance sheets and doing extremely well. And indeed, I heard one commentator say today that if you buy the S&P, that you've got 40 to 50% exposure to overseas markets. And that doesn't surprise me because there are a number of big multinational companies listed on the S&P which are major players of globalization and have continued to do very well. Of course, that doesn't or hasn't prompted them to build more factories in the United States, and that's a bone of contention. Certainly with the White House, and it's an ongoing problem for the US that I think will be there for a very long time. But do we get growth that's mostly in the 2% to 3% range and maybe occasionally up to 4% over the next few years? Well, I think that's a real possibility. Again, with that same proviso, and I think I've only had one real proviso in here, but with and that is that provided we don't get a very frothy blow-off in commodity prices, very frothy surge. If we got the surge, it would eventually end in a blow-off. But let's just talk about the surge first. If we get crude oil prices spiking upwards as we saw in 2008, grain prices doing the same, that's going to cause more significant problems. Again, I maintain that's a real risk, as I've said practically every day, but it is not the case. It is not the case today. But commodity prices have gone up far enough for people who are actually watching to say, wait a minute, this is not quite so deflationary or disinflationary as we had actually felt. Okay, what about long-dated government bond markets? Well, they've steadied a little bit since we've seen the stock market rally that carried throughout December run into a little bit of steam here. And I think that that is likely to provide some shorting opportunities. I'm being a little cautious myself in terms of not wanting to be too aggressive at this stage. Just to reiterate very briefly my long-term view on those government bonds, I do think that the secular bull market, which produced falling yields for the better part of 30 years, is over, and that we are in the bottoming out and base building phase. We've actually seen the lows, I feel, for all of these long-dated government bonds, and they are in various stages of base formation development prior to a ranging long-term upward trend for yields. So that should include a fair amount of ranging activity, which is why I don't want to be too aggressive in terms of shorting US treasuries, which I'll be concentrating on, when they've already come down quite sharply over the last few months. So I think those bond futures will fall a lot further over the medium to longer term, but we need to be thinking in terms of years, not days or weeks, in terms of this overall cycle. Now, I was going to drop back just for a moment to stock markets because there was one point that I had intended to make, and I don't think I did make. And that is, as long as we have this relative performance, relative strength of Wall Street against most other stock markets, I think that's a net positive overall, as I've said before. Now, if there is a specific concern, such as inflation in Indonesia or India, that can cause some money to come out of ADRs to be brought, or if it's been sent overseas, to come back into the USA and the US market, thus maintaining that relative strength for Wall Street in the short term. That's understandable overall. But in terms of a good, steady US performance, should that continue? And I think it will. With that one proviso about upward spikes in commodity prices, should that occur sooner rather than later, that would change the script. But if we're able to avoid that over the next few months, then the type of situation that I would expect to see in 2011 is one where that relative strength of Wall Street reduced uncertainty among investors globally, and pullbacks, mean reversion opportunities in the fuller money themes that have done so well for the most part, would mean reversion there towards the rising 200-day moving averages would present buying opportunities. Okay. What about precious metals? Again, they're off the boil here in the short term, helped by the somewhat steadier US dollar. And the long-term outlook, I think, for the precious metals really does remain quite bullish. My biggest concern in the last year or more is the fact that it's a somewhat crowded trade overall. And we did see late last year, we saw those trends become overextended relative to their MAs. So again, we're seeing some mean reversion there as well. Now, it'll be very interesting to see what happens on Wednesday when we get the WASDE report on the year-end stocks for these key staple agricultural commodities. I added a little bit more corn to my position here in anticipation of that. And on that note, well, it's good to be back doing audios with a little less coughing and nasal tone from the cold, which is improving. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.